We're very thankful this afternoon to have each and every person on the call. So thankful for the brother who's worked with me so far and those who will be working in toward the end of the service. Good to have those brethren serving with us, and good to have those on the call who are not members of the Church of Christ. You are welcome to our call. We appreciate you so very much. You are the VIP of the call. Let you know we believe that Jesus did die on that cross. If you believe that, then you'll believe that his blood washed your sins away in baptism, according to the Bible, Revelation 1 and verse 5. Also, you'll believe that Jesus purchased his church with his blood. And that blood purchased his church, and he said he would build his church, and there's but one in the Bible. And it belongs to Christ. It's called the Church of Christ. And to be saved, one must believe that Jesus is the Son of God, be washed in his blood in baptism, and be added to the only church in the Bible. And those who are saved in the church, according to Acts 2 and verse 47, that's what it says, people. So you're trying to get to heaven. Good to have you on the call. We hope you will obey before it's eternally too late. Now, this afternoon, we want to talk from the book of Philippians, chapter 4. One of my favorite quotes of the Bible, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Paul is in a prison cell, in a dungeon. And he still was able to find this statement to ring from that prison cell. Circumstances were not good. Elements were not good. Environment wasn't good. Paul, in his heart of heart, had a reason to rejoice. And we should be able to do like that as well, no matter what's going on in our lives, if we have the same mind and the same judgment. This afternoon, in Philippians chapter 4, Paul says, therefore, my brethren, talking to brothers and sisters in Christ, and dearly beloved, and longed for, he missed them. But my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Therefore, Paul had just reminded them from this morning's lesson that they should press toward the mark, aiming for the prize of the high calling. That heavenly change will take place one day when the dead in Christ will rise. And those who are still alive be caught up with him in the last trump. The Apostle Paul tells the Philippian Christians that I stand tell you this evening. And if we're going to make heaven our home, we got to stand fast in the Lord. If we're going to be able to rejoice always. And never. And again, I say rejoice, we got to stand fast. And fast means hold on like a nail. Hold your post. The idea of a soldier standing guard. You have to stand fast, hold as hard fighting soldiers. Never let go of God's hand. Nail down your relationship. Hold your post until Jesus come back. And then in verse 2, he said, I beseech Euodias and he beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Here the Apostle Paul beseech these two women, plead with them to be of the same mind. These two sisters obviously had some differences, and the Bible don't say what it is. But this is not a surprise that members have differences even today. However, we must remember, as Paul pleaded with them, we plead too with any individuals among us who have differences. They go back to the Bible, so they have the same mind. And that mind is the mind of Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10, there were differences in the Corinthian church. He said, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. There will be no divisions among you, but you'll be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Everything, all of our differences can be settled with the Word of God. The Word of God will settle in the differences that we may have. All we got to do is remember, as Paul said this morning, Philippians 3:16, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained. He said, let us walk by the same rule and let us mind the same thing. Hebrew writer wrote in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Any of us can come back together if we let the word of God be our guide. There will be no division among us. We can speak the same thing because the word of God will do its job to give us those instructions. As Paul told Timothy, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is proper for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfectly thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The word of God is sufficient. It's sufficient to give us everything we need, and we don't miss that mark for the prize that we talked about this morning, for the high calling. So Paul, then entreat these sisters. Entreat them sisters to come together. And verse 3 said, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, with other of my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Here Paul, the Apostle Paul, is entreating or urging the true yoke fellow. That's the fellow teammates, as we would say. I'm not sure who they were he was talking about. Somebody that was working with him, the brother in there. And he said, entreat, urge his brother, those fellow yoke fellows, true yoke fellows, excuse me, those teammates, fellow laborers. He said, help those women which labor me in the gospel. It's so good to know that we all labor, just no matter what our gender is. Men and women, brothers and sisters in Christ, can labor together for the cause of Christ. This should be an encouragement to our sisters this morning, this afternoon, that you labor with us. You don't labor against us. You labor with us. We need our good sisters, good wives, who stand with their men, stand with your husband, that they lead the Lord, lead the people of the Lord. Stay in your lane. Stay as a sister in Christ, but never give up the labor. You always labor. There's a lot of laboring going on in the church. Men can't do what sisters can do. And your sisters need to know the important role that you have, not only with us in the church, but in the home as mothers and sisters, and raising the girls, and teaching the young ones, those that labor with us. We're all in this together, sisters, and we really need you to help us. Thank God for our sisters, godly women who labor with the brethren, those who labor with Clemente also, with other my fellow laborers, Paul says, whose names are in the book of life. This lesson, the lesson is, we are to help each other. We are to be a team, working together, pulling together, doing things together for the purpose of the cross of Calvary, for the purpose of sharing the gospel, for the purpose of souls being saved so that their names can be in the book of life. Are you a sister on the call this afternoon who's a laborer with Christ, who's a laborer in the church, doing the things you can to reach the lost soul? Remember, Jesus hung on that cross. When he was on the cross, it was the women. It was the sisters around the cross. His apostles had left. Only one was standing there. When Jesus looked out, he told John, he said, behold your mother. Behold his mother. She was there. She was looking at a son that was unrecognizable because he'd been beaten. But she knew it. She knew that was her son on the cross. There and the mother and sisters were there with him. Oh, what a powerful, powerful thought is that the women can stand their post just like men can. You can stand there and hold your post. Now you can't preach. God didn't tell you to do that. But you got to hold your post. You got to stand there as a laborer, as a supporter, as one who loves God. If you love God, you love his word. If you love his word, you have no problem being a sister in Christ, a fellow laborer with the men out front. Amen. Men and women, we all want to go to heaven, but it's going to take all of us working together, standing our own, and laboring together, and our names can be in the book of life. Who's that? Names in the book of life. Let's identify who that is. Maybe somebody on the call this afternoon whose name is not in the book of life. All you need your name in the book of life. In Revelation chapter 20, if you turn there in verse 12, let's identify whose name is going to be in the book of life. Who can say rejoice in the Lord always? And again, I say rejoice. Only those whose names are in the book of life. Revelator said in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12, I saw the dead, John said, small and great, stand before God. And the books, notice they got books, you got S on it, were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things, which were written in the books, according to their words. So the books are there. The dead are going to be judged out of those things that were written in the book. And there's another book there called the book of life. What books were open? Well, there's 66 books of the Bible, according to John chapter 12 and verse 28. The Bible says, Jesus said, he that rejected me and received not my word had one that judged him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. What books are going to judge those people whose names are not in the book? It's the book of the Bible, the word of God. Jesus said himself, if you reject me, reject my word, that's the words that are going to judge you. What else will be open? What else is going to be open? The book of Deeds. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. Paul write again, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the thing done in his body, according to that which he has done. Notice, whether it be good or bad. The wise man Emilia wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Will it fear God to keep his commandments? For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. The book of deeds is going to be opened on that day. We're going to be judged according to deeds that we've done in this life. Every secret thing will come up. And then there's another book. So we got the books of the Bible, the books of everything, the deeds of everything you've done. And now another book. Number three, the book of life. This is where you want your name. Only the children of God names are recorded. Hebrew writers writes, Hebrews chapter 12 and the verses number 22. But you will come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to a numerable company of angels, to the general assembly. Notice this, in church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, to God, the judge of all, and to the spirit of just men made perfect, whose names are in the book of life. It's going to be members of the church of the firstborn, faithful members, who have come to the general assembly. They come unto the Mount Zion. They come to that living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Who is it? It's the church of the firstborn. If I can find out who the firstborn is, we can find out which church. Listen to the Bible now. In Colossians chapter 1 and the verses number 12. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. Paul says there, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Who is he talking about now? He's talking about Christ. Verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God. Notice he said, the firstborn of every creature. By him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All three things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church. Notice this. Who is the beginning? The firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. What church is the name of the people written in heaven? It is the church of the firstborn. Who's the firstborn? Christ. Which church? The church of Christ. The church of the firstborn is the church of Christ. Who's in the church of Christ? Those who've been born of the water and of the Spirit. Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse number 5, Jesus answered, saying, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Whose names are in the book of life? Those who've been born again. Those who've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Those who've been born of the water and of the Spirit. Those who the Lord has added to the church. Those who have been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Their names are in the book of life. Those people, according to Acts 2:47, are the saved people, and their location is in the church. Which church? The church of the firstborn. You said, Brother Bruce, there's a lot of Christian churches out there. No, no. There's but one church that Christians are in. The only one we can read about in this Bible. This book going to be open. We just found that out. And this book is open for a reason. So men and women like me and you, brothers and sisters who are in the church, can know that you're saved. You know you're doing it the way God told you to do. You got to know this. You got to believe the Bible over yourself, over your mama, your grandmother, and a woman, a sister, a brother that you love the most. You got to love God and love his word. Remember, it was Jesus who said, he that rejected me and receiving not my word had one that judged him. The words that I spoke, the same will judge it in the last day. My question is, do you believe that you have to be born again? Do you believe that you got to be baptized as Jesus commanded? Do you believe that according to Revelation 1:5, that the blood of Jesus will wash away your sins? Do you believe that? If you believe that, then do you believe that because of the Bible? If you believe that because of the Bible, then you believe that the saved are in the church of the firstborn. The names of those names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life is those who are in the church of Christ. Now somebody said, Brother, that's what I don't like about the church. It's not the church of Christ you have a problem with. No. People who say that don't bother me. Because the problem is not the church of Christ. We're not the problem. The problem, no. The problem is, you on the call, you listen, you're not a member of the church. The problem is not what I'm preaching. The problem is not what I say. The problem is that you don't believe in this book. And when you don't believe in the book, your name will never be in the Lamb's Book of Life. But there is a warning that John gives us in Revelation that every one of us, including members of the Church of Christ, must understand. He said in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12, he said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the Book of Life, and dead were judged by those things which are written in the books according to their words. And this is verse 13. And then the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which was in them. Talking about the grave. They would judge every man according to his works. And death and hell was cast to the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever, me, you, the Pope, Reverend John, Father so-and-so, it don't matter who it is, your grandmama, my grandmama, your mama, my mama, my daddy, your dad, no matter. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is why when you know the truth and you know that the church you're in, you can read about what you did to be saved, the Bible supports, then you can say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say it in joy. Now to those who have been born again, who have obeyed the gospel, those who were baptized for remission of sins, members of the blood-bought church, remember, your reason to rejoice is that you've entered to that straight and narrow way. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew 7:13, enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And notice now, many will go that way. But straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life. And few there be that found it. How can you say rejoice in the Lord? Because you found a straight and narrow way. But there is a warning. There is a warning to all of us in the church. There's no such thing as once you're saved, you're always saved. The Revelator, right? Well, Jesus, rather, says in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5, he said, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Jesus says, we got to make it. We got to make it to that finish line, y'all, as we talked about this morning. We gotta set our eyes on the mark for the prize. When we will go for that prize, we can't go neither left nor right of the truth. We gotta stay the course. We can't go beyond, do more than what God said, or do less. We can't go the way of Balaam. We can't do it. But Balaam left forsake the right way, according to Peter. We gotta stay with the truth. We have to be overcomers. And to live this life. Because our name, just as good as it went in there, Jesus said, I can take it out. I can take your name out. The psalmist wrote Psalm 69 verse 28. Psalm 69, 28. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous. Eyes of the Lord, 1 Peter 3, 12. The Bible said, eyes of the Lord over the righteous. And his ears are open unto their prayer. But he turns his face against them and do evil. Who are those people that he's listening to? It's the overcomers, those names who are in the book of life. Who can rejoice in the Lord always? Only those who've been born again of the water and of the Spirit. Members of the true church. This should be encouraging those of us who are members of the Lord's church. Ain't nobody out there. They prove the Church of Christ wrong. If they prove the Church of Christ wrong, they're trying to prove that the Bible is wrong. If you try to prove that the Bible is wrong, you're proving you don't know nothing about what's going to happen after you die. Because there's no other book. There's no other book that answers the question what man must do to save his precious soul. Church of Christ, holla height. We must be overcomers. Fight against the resistance that's before us. We talked about this morning. That devil. We got to hold our post. We got to hang on to God. Never give up. Hold to God's unchanging hand. I know you may be feeling it. You may be going through some life situations, struggles, but you can't give up. You got to stand fast. You got to hold your post. Why, Brother Bruce? You should be able to say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, because that's a statement of a mature Christian. That's the major theme of this book. To men and women who were with Paul at that time, and were working with him, laborers, regardless of their circumstance, prisons, people were trying to kill him. Their future was uncertain. The Apostle Paul didn't know if he was going to make it or not. He didn't know what the trials were going to be. He didn't know what the verdict was going to be. But yet he wrote in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Can you do that? Can we rejoice in the Lord regardless of our circumstances? There's a time in all of our lives when things get so hard. You say, boy, I don't know. I don't know. How can I rejoice during a time like this? Well, understand and rejoice has a joy of inside. It's this peace that I'll talk about. We say we rejoice, it don't mean we're not going to cry. It doesn't mean we're not going to have pain. It doesn't mean we're not going to mourn over the loss of a loved one. That's not what he's talking about. We're supposed to mourn. We're supposed to, this rejoice is not a happy thing. What he's saying is that there's something coming. There's a prize. You're setting your eyes on the mark. You're fighting against the devil. You're fighting against trials and tribulations. You're trusting in God. Your faith is in him. You're looking unto the hills from which cometh your help. And your help will come from the Lord. Jesus told his disciples, notwithstanding in Luke 10:20, notwithstanding this, rejoice not. that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are in heaven. This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. That's why we say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It was Paul who said in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God, called according to his purpose. Do you know the things we go through in life, the experiences we have, the pain we go through and experiences that we have, dealing with loss of loved ones, bereavement, dealing with life and marriage and family, and pain and shame, all become experience. God is using us, like, just like he used Job when he allowed Satan to come into his life. Job didn't know what was coming. But God asked Satan, have you considered my servant Job, who's upright and eschewed evil? And the devil said, you got a hedge around him. You protected him. But Lucian, let me touch his body. Let me touch his family. He'll leave me. But Job lost 10 kids. He sores all over his body. Yet Job said, naked I came, and naked I'm going to return. The Lord give it, and the Lord take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What were you saying, Job? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. How many of you can do that this evening, this afternoon, that you can really say, rejoice in the Lord? Well, I can tell you, there were times in my life that I said, can I do this? Can I truly rejoice? It's an in-depth feeling. It's an in-depth reach within you to find that joy. But when it comes to the surface, it's very clear. My joy is a relationship with my Savior, a relationship with God. And at that point, I know it's me and him. And with God, all things are possible. With God, there's nothing but love. With God, there's deliverance. With God, there's second chances. With God, there's forgiveness. With God, there's long-suffering. With God, there's loving-kindness. With God, there's never a reason not to have joy. So, Paul says to Philippians 4 and 5, let your moderation be known unto men, all men. The Lord is at hand. Paul says to these Christians whose names are in the book, let your moderation, your forbearance, or your gentleness, or your big-heartedness, or your generosity, or your forgiving spirit be known. We ought to forbear one another. He said, the Lord is at hand. Why? The Lord will deliver us no matter what. It's just how you picture deliverance. If you want deliverance from nothing in this life that will bring you pain, then that's not, you can't live for the Lord. You got to expect that you got to live this life. Whatever you go through, you can bring glory to God. Because remember, it was Paul who said, all things work together for good to them that love God. Watch this now. Call according to his purpose. God has a purpose for each one of us. Let us stand fast, hold our post, and keep within us the understanding that to rejoice in the Lord always, you got to have the relationship. Because something comes with that. Paul says here, Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious or worried about it. For nothing. But everything by prayer and supplications, he said. Listen to that. How you do it? But in everything, by prayer and supplication with God, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Now, remember this morning I talked about that. how important it is that we don't live in the past. We don't be trying to control things out of our control. Deal with your life. Deal with God. And he says, why would you worry when your trust is in the Lord? Why would you be careful for nothing when you can do everything in prayer? When you can go to God with prayer and he will supply your needs according to his will. He said, Paul, just tell him, you can rejoice in the Lord always when you know that God, when you lay down at night, that God is the one who's watching over you. When you lay down at night, it's God who keeps your heart beat. When you lay down at night, it's God who gives you that peaceful night rest. When you lay down at night, it's God who watches over your children. When you lay down at night and you pray your prayer, you should be able to say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, because everything is in the hands of God. I made my request. I let it be known. So rejoice in the Lord. He'll bring you through. Offer your prayers and everything. Ask God to help you. Offer your supplication. State what you want God to deal with. Put it in your prayer. Make your request known unto God. So, Brother Brooks, I keep asking God for the same thing. You say you're repeating your prayer, aren't you? Well, I remember that Jesus, the Bible teaches, when Jesus in the garden said, guess me, he prayed three times saying the same thing. So if Jesus said the same thing three times, I have no problem with repeating my request. Just keep on repeating your request and lay down and wait on God. Wait on God, I say. Wait on the Lord. He'll bring you through. When you wait on God, you can mount up wings like eagles. God will bring you through. You can soar through life. Because God is in control. He's in control. And that's why you need to be focused. And then, when you know God is in control, you'll feel something called peace. This is what Paul said. In Philippians 4, in verse 7, and the peace of God, there it is, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. How can you tell me that the word? Here it is, bro. Which passes all understanding. Shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Be careful for nothing. Meaning, having no distress and anxiety about anything. I said, Brother, I just don't know how to do it. Jesus said this in Matthew 6:25. I say unto you, take no thought, that's mind, that's heart, for your life. It's your mind that's not at peace. Jesus said, take no thought. Listen, this is the key to rejoice in the Lord always. What you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body. What you shall put on, is it not the life more than the meat? Jesus told, if the problem is your thoughts, the problem, the reason why you're anxious and anxiety, feel anxiety, because you're thinking about how you're going to save your own life, how you're going to get your own food, how you're going to get your drink, what you're going to put on your body. Jesus said this in Matthew 6:26. He said, look, behold, there was a lady came to my office one time. She was a word about everything. And I listened to her. And I thought about the Lord. I said, come here. She was crying. And I went to the door. I said, I want you to look outside. I was at a house. Her and her husband going through some very difficult times. I said, come here and look at this. You see them birds out there? They not crying. If you in that state of mind right now, you so worried about everything going on around you. Oh, when it rains, it pours. It's more than I can take. And you feel like you the one. That the Lord has unleashed the devil on your life and turned it up. Go look outside at the birds. See, so they sow not. Neither they reap. They don't plant their food. They don't go and gather in the barns. But your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much more better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Why you take thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field. Look at the flowers. How they grow. They toil not, neither they spin. I say unto you, even Solomon, all his glory, not arrayed like one of them. Then he said, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass in the field, which is today, is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not more clothe you, or ye a little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what we're going to eat, drink, whatever we're going to be clothed. He said, but all these things do the Gentiles see. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Here you go. And his righteousness. And these things shall be added. Take no thought for tomorrow. Here it is. Back to what Paul said this morning. The one thing he learned in his life. Forgetting those things which are behind. Jesus said, stop it. Take no thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow shall take thought of the things, for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Lives of people of minds are in distress because of future thoughts of what's going to happen, past thoughts of what's going to happen, trying to change and control everything. But God has said, here I am. Just trust me. Turn it over to me. And you can rejoice in the Lord always. Paul says, when you rejoice in the Lord always, in closing, he says, the peace of God. When you have peace with God, you get the peace from God. And when you get peace, you have peace with God, that means your life is right with him. You get peace from him. And when you get the peace from God, you have the peace of God, which belongs only to God. And that peace keeps your hearts in mind through Jesus Christ. It protects you. And then you can say, and others looking will say, how is it that brother or sister going through all of that, yet she has this peace about her? That's past the understanding of people. Anybody need that peace this afternoon? Anybody this evening want to rejoice in the Lord always? That peace comes by putting your hands in the ones who are able and willing to deliver. And it's God himself. Whenever we trust the Lord, there comes a peace that's past understanding. And only the heart and mind of those who are obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, who are members of the church of the firstborn, and who are good standing with God, with their relationship with him, can say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. If you want to call this afternoon and you're not a Christian, we want you to be a Christian. You do that by believing that Jesus hung, bled, and died, and suffered on Calvary. He hung there for 6 long, shameful, painful hours, agony and pain on the cross. It was at the cross. First son of light. Do you believe that Jesus hung, bled, and died for you? Believe that with all of your heart. Be willing to repent of your sin. Change your life. Make a decision to see. So you can go into the state of rejoicing and then believe Jesus, Son of God, be willing to confess him that he's the Son of God, and then be baptized as commanded by him in Matthew 28:18. He said, go teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. If you're on the call and see, you want to be baptized, hit 5-star on your phone. If you're on the call and see, you're a member of the Lord's church whose name's in the book of life, but been blotted out because you left the Lord, why don't you come home like the prodigal son, asking God to forgive you, and God will forgive you, take you back, and own you as his child. Won't you come to see? And if you need prayer, you want to put things behind you, start giving God, turn it over to God, hold on to him, hold your post, and keep your joy, and be able to state, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. At this time, we'll turn the services over to our song leader. If you have need, hit 5-star on your phone, and we'll help you. God bless.